welcome to Sisters of Sound. I'm your host, Morgan Shepherd. We are back with another episode talking to Simone Torres. I've been very excited to chat with Simone. She is an amazing vocal producer, sound engineer, and vocalist herself, originally from Long Island, and now she's Atlanta-based. She's Grammy-nominated for Cardi B's most recent album, I Like It. She helped to engineer that. She started performing when she was only 9 years old with her dad. So music has just been a part of her from the get-go. And you might have seen her on The X Factor some time ago. Seriously, look it up on YouTube. Her performance is incredible. Simone, thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, I'm happy to do it. Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, you were very high on our list.
Oh, yay! That's awesome.
Let's start from the beginning. I know that you and your father had a very close musical bond growing up. When did you know that music was going to be your thing?
Yeah, so, music was always something that was really important to me growing up. I used to listen to, like, Gloria Estefan, and my grandparents would like introduce me to like put on shows and stuff like that. But I didn't start like singing until I was nine. My dad started an entertainment company called Groove Line Karaoke because he's a parole officer and his overtime got cut at work. And he used to rap and do the DJing thing before that. And so he was like, you know, I'm going to start doing that again. And so he started performing and singing at restaurants and bars, and I wanted to do it too. And so I remember he took me to this karaoke shop to come and sing in front of the lady who owned it. So he could be like, you know, can she take lessons? Is she any good? And so ever since then I started performing with him, and that was what made music like a really big thing in my life at first.
That's amazing. I love that. Especially when you look at the progression from, you know, playing in a karaoke bar or restaurant, right, and where you are now.
Yeah.
it truly is really cool path. And then you were on The X Factor pretty young too, when you were 19, right?
Yeah. And so I went to, I went to Berkeley for college, and while I was there, I was gigging. And while I was at Berkeley, part of the reason I was there was I wanted to learn music business and learn engineering for myself as an artist at first.
Yep.
So I went on X Factor still thinking I wanted to be an artist. And it wasn't until after that experience that I realized from that I didn't want to be an artist.
Right.
That I love singing, and it would always be a big part of my life, but I didn't want to be the face of anything. That's just not my personality. That was an important step for me just to like know that that's not what I wanted, you know?
You know, I feel like it takes a very special kind of person to come to that realization, because most people, if you have the talent, it's like, well, that's what I have to do. I have to use that. Do you find that there's not many people who kind of make that alternative choice that you did to move into behind the scenes?
Yeah, you know, and it's difficult because I feel like there's a little bit of a difference between just deciding you're going to go behind the scenes because you can't, like you haven't made it or something like that, and deciding that that's what you really want to do. Cause for me, it's, I never feel like I'm not doing anything I don't want to do. Like I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I also feel like I'm using my gift and everything that I've, you know, all the experience I've gained up until now as a singer, as a performer, when I vocal produce, you know, and I feel like I can use that, and I sing backgrounds on projects. And so I still feel like I'm using, you know, my voice just how it should be. I don't feel like I should be a singer, you know?
Absolutely. So cool. So after The X Factor, when you were like, maybe I don't want to be in the spotlight, but you still wanted to be in the industry, what were the next steps? I know that, you know, you've mentored, or Cook is your mentor. How did all of that come about?
Yeah. So I came back from The X Factor, and I was doing the music production engineering program. And I really liked it because it was a good blend of creativity and the technical side of things, because I really love that side of it. But I still like didn't really know what I wanted to do until in one of our classes, one of our teachers gave a presentation on Kook, and, you know, showed that he was a vocal producer, what he does. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. Like, that's exactly what I want to do. Like, I didn't know that that was an option. I didn't know that that was a field I could go into. And so, yeah, I mean, from that moment, I just kind of decided that that's who I wanted to work for, you know, intern under. And then ultimately now I work as his protege and I vocal produce on his behalf. And it's really amazing. It was a long journey to get there for sure. But that's where that point came.
Wow. So did you just reach out to him and you were like, you know, I would like to work with you?
Yeah, so I tried. It took me about a year and a half to finally, like, meet with him. So while I was at Berkeley, I did different things, like interview people that he had worked with that would come to the school, figure out things about his workflow so that I could study that in the event that I did get the opportunity to interview or anything like that. I'd already know how he worked and have be kind of good at it. I also got a job working in the tech shop because I wanted to have a really broad skill set to be valuable to somebody like that. So I learned how to build and repair gear and mics and things like that. I sent letters of recommendation. Like, I got letters of recommendation that were specific to me working for him.
Wow.
And I called all those and I had my resume. I sent a portfolio to his office, didn't hear anything. Ultimately, it came from, I was just basically telling everybody that that's who I wanted to work for. And one of my teachers told somebody higher up at the college who ended up meeting Kook later on and then said, oh, we have someone who wants to work with you. And so that's how his assistant reached out to me. And it started like a 4-month or 5-month process of me trying to meet with him. But at that point I knew he was working in LA. And so I just decided I was going to move to LA after school in the event that he would take a meeting with me.
Wow, that is amazing. So when you finally did meet him and sat down, how did you feel? What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of surreal because there were a bunch of times when we were supposed to meet and it would fall through because someone like that is super busy and, mm-hmm. and you're trying to toe that line of persistence versus annoyance, you know?
Right.
But when I finally met him, his response to me was, you know, it seems like you could work for anyone that you want. Like, why do you want to work for me? And to me, that was so crazy because I had just spent the last year and a half so focused and determined on just working for him and trying to, like, you know, make myself valuable. And, you know, from that first meeting that we've been working together ever since, and that was October 2015.
Wow. So Obviously you started off and you were probably just shadowing him, right, for the first little bit?
Yes.
Cool. And then when was the first time that you were kind of taking the reins?
So the first session I did with him was a session with an artist, Betty Hu, which it's funny because she is a I knew her at Berkeley. She's a Berkeley alumni, and her whole team and the studio manager, everyone at the studio was Berkeley except for Kook. And it was so funny. but that was the first session that he let me vocal engineer for him.
Yep.
And I remember being like, okay, I know this room has an SSLJ series. Let me read the whole manual for it. And I was contacting, like, my professors, like, different mentors that I had and be like, is there anything, like, specific I should know about this console, whatever. And we get in there and we're just using 2 Pro Tools faders, you know. but, like, I was like, oh, I need to know everything about this console. So it's funny. But that was, like, maybe 2 months in, he let me do that. Before then, it was a lot of, I would edit demos and things that his writers would do and tune them. And, you know, he would just be like, okay, I like this, I don't like that, you know. And that was a big learning process for sure. But the first time he let me do something was that Betty Hu session.
Very cool. It seems like preparedness is such an important part of your job. Can you kind of talk about that and why it is?
Yeah. And so the pre-work that you do before you get into a session is so important. Your skills will get you in the room, you know, but you just want to get in there and make everything easy. You don't want to be frantic about anything because that energy is just going to translate to everyone else in the room because those environments are just so sensitive. So as prepared as you can be, the more prepared, the better. So for instance, like if we are doing a song and we can't get the lyrics from the label, like they're having trouble sending them to us, like I'll type them out. Even if it's like, something that's, you know, long or more rappy, whatever, I'm going to type them out just in case, even right. though that's not really my responsibility. Or I'll travel with Palo Santo, just like in case the studio is feeling a little weird. I know that Coop really likes that in his environment. Or, you know, I carry around, I don't know, just stuff like that is really important to just help ease everybody's comfort level. Like making sure I have Advil in case he gets a headache or just things like that.
Totally. So what are your days like now? I mean, you're Grammy nominated. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Let's chat about that. So Grammy nominated for engineering Cardi B's newest album.
Yeah. So I engineered I Like It, which was nominated for Record of the Year. And, you know, she actually won for Best Rap
yeah.
Album. It was super cool.
So it's like a little bit, it's a little bit like a win on that end, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, the subcategories, it depends on who gets the trophy. You have to do over 51% of the album, and I did around 30% of the album.
Gotcha.
So I don't get a trophy, but I get a certificate for sure.
Oh my God, so cool.
Yeah, but day to day, every day is different. Some days I'm tuning because that's a huge part of my job and a huge thing that I actually attribute the way that I've been able to rise at this rate, just because I'm a singer, I tune like a singer and not like an engineer. And I've worked really, really, really hard to hone those skills and get really good at that over the years. And then sometimes I'm vocal producing where I'm with the artist and I'm in that seat. While I'm vocal producing, I engineer my sessions too.
Wow.
Yeah. And then if Kook's vocal producing, then I'm engineering the session. And I'm tuning everything too. And I tune everything I vocal produce. So, there's a lot of different. Yeah. Every day's different.
Can you explain for those that maybe don't know who want to get in what the tuning process means?
Yeah. So tuning, so there's a few different ways to do it, but I use a software called Melodyne that's made by Salamoni, and it's where you're able to put the vocal in and then see it. You can see each pitch and the pitch curves and the vibrato and everything there. And you by hand go through and craft the performance to how you want it to be. So you fix pitch, but it's not just fixing pitch because there's so much that you can do in Melodyne. Auto-tune is another tool that does it, but you know, auto-tune is the automatic. Melodyne is where you can go in and be super, super detailed. And so I'm tuning everything by hand that we do. And it's great. It's hard to get good and fast at because it's just a lot and it'll take people a long time. But, if it just takes those 10,000 hours of spending time with it, it's one of those things that when you start off, you're going to be so slow at it because it's you have to be selecting your tools and figuring out what tools make things sound different ways. But after you spend a lot of time with it, you'll be able to get good at it. It takes those 10,000 hours.
Cool. So this, you know, a schedule of a recording engineer is pretty all over the place. It's hard to know, you know, I'm going to see this person every week at this time. How do you kind of stay, not sane, but, you know, kind of just keep everything together, like keep yourself grounded? What are some things you do outside of work that makes your life still flow at a good level?
Yeah, you know, and that's something that I'm constantly just working on, finding a balance in. Some things that I really think are important are when I have time off, I try to spend as much time outside as I can mm-hmm. because we spend so much time in studios and a lot of the times they don't have windows and I just want to do things like I go hiking. I live in Atlanta and it's so beautiful over here. It's very green. And so I like to go hiking and, you know, take walks, things like that. I also love escape rooms. So I have friends in LA, Nashville, and Atlanta, wherever I'm working, that we go and we do escape rooms.
That's awesome.
And, you know, just other things like board game nights. But I'm not a big person for going out, but I just try to stay healthy and stay active when I'm not working to just make it so that whenever I do have free time, I can enjoy it.
For sure. One of my engineers is wondering, what are some techniques that you personally use to get the best performance out of an artist?
Ooh, good question. So, I mean, you always, it's all about the environment that you create, right? So they need to be able to trust you and to put that trust in you to be able to make mistakes because a singer is their instrument. And so it's just all about making the environment really comfortable, like whether that's like candles or bringing their favorite candy or making sure that there's no one in the room except for you. Like if they don't like other people in the room, setting the lights the way that they like them to be set. You'll also just learn in working with them, like the kind of comments that help them the most, and then just following that. And just always staying very positive. Like nothing is ever, ever, ever negative. I don't understand that old adage of trying to like berate a singer to get things out of them, you know, because you're working as a team and you can hear through a recording whether or not a singer is happy or
for sure,
you know, so just whatever it is to make that person comfortable and trying to just go that little bit of an extra mile will help you a lot.
What's like the wackiest thing that you've had to do for an artist to make them comfortable? Like a very bizarre request. Has there been anything?
I don't know. I've done some like odd ones. Like I mean, there's an artist that I would notice would get cold in the studio, and I like went and bought like a pack of socks because she would come in heels.
Right.
And then that one. Cordon heels, and then she'd like be cold, and so like just like a little thing like that like helps so much, you know. I mean there's just like a lot of random things. I mean I don't know anything too wacky, honestly.
For sure. Have you ever gotten nervous working with some of these huge artists like Cardi B? Like what was that like?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, she was great. Her team was great. We did that session here in Atlanta, those sessions here in Atlanta, which was nice. But no, just because like when you're in there, you're not there as a fan. You're not there as anything else. You're there to do what you do. And if you're confident in your ability and just stay focused on what you're doing, there's no reason to get to feel any type of way. But it's definitely... it's so much fun to get to do what we do and to get to be in those environments. But I think it's important to know, like when you're in the room, like what role you're playing. So like if I'm in the room engineering, I'm going to be acting completely different than if I'm there producing.
Right.
Because, you know, like if I'm the engineer, like I don't want to be a presence as a personality because that's not what I'm there for, mm-hmm. you know? But it's the opposite if I'm producing. I don't know. I haven't gotten starstruck yet.
That's good. You got to keep it chill. Because you're the star now.
No. But you don't want to make them feel any type of way either, you know, because
for
they
sure.
just want to come in and work.
Yeah. And be comfy.
Exactly.
Do you find, you know, a lot of artists, whether it be audio or visual, if you're consuming something that you create, do you find that, you listen to things differently now that you are a vocal engineer? Are you thinking like, I know that this was tuned this way?
Sometimes. I mean, only if it's done poorly.
Right.
Will I notice that? A lot of the times, like I'm able to separate that in terms of, No, that's not true. I can't separate it. I mean, cause like when I'm listening to more like hip hop and, that kind of thing, then I can separate it. But if it's like R&B or pop, then yeah. I mean, especially if it's something that's not mixed well, or if it's something that's, you know, the tuning's bad or something like that, I can't separate that. And that's why, like, there's some artists that I've worked with that I started working with just because I'm a fan of theirs and the vocals that they were putting out just weren't up to par with their ability. And I'm just like, hey, like, there's no reason for this to be happening. Like, let me help out, like, however I can, you know? So that helps me just be able to be a fan of it.
Totally. That's super nice. I was actually going to ask, like, you know, to the untrained ear, I wouldn't be able to recognize what those tracks would be that aren't mixed well. Like, how common is it that a track that's in... you know, top 10 on Spotify, in your opinion, isn't mixed well?
Oh, I mean, at that level, I don't think that you're having those issues. It's more so of the independent artists and the up and coming. Yeah, that's more so what I'm talking about.
Well, it's nice of you to lend a helping hand to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Lucky them. Tell us about your own music and, you know, what you've done, if you're working on anything currently.
Yeah, so I started now just writing a bit, but not for myself, but just writing things to pitch and working with different producers that I know. As an artist singing, I mean, I'm at the point where I just want to put out some things just because I don't have any recordings that are out anywhere that represent how I sing anymore. And, you know, I haven't for a long time, and I love to sing. It's not just because I'm doing this doesn't mean that I still don't love to sing, and just because I don't want to be a singer I don't love to sing. So I want to put out just some covers or maybe a few originals. But when I'm writing, I'm more so just writing for pitch. But I want to just put something out, and that's a goal of mine this year.
Cool. What other goals do you have? Like 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, big long-term goal, like my biggest goal that I have is at one point I would love to win Producer of the Year. Yeah. I know that that's like a huge, huge goal. But yeah, I want to win a Grammy or be nominated for a Grammy for something that I vocal produced. Those are my current ones right now. And then also just continuing to find that balance of work and life. Because, you know, that's something that I am constantly thinking about, because I just was super dedicated right out of school and also throughout college, that it's very easy, because I love what I do so much, to just get completely pulled into it. So just to continue to do that.
Amazing. What advice do you have for someone who wants to get into vocal producing?
Work on your melodyne chops a lot. Just do it, you know, like reach out to people that you know that like to sing, or even if they don't, and try to record them. Even if they're not a singer, see like if you can work with them and what you could say to help them get a better performance, because not everyone is a vocalist, but they can still give attitude and a performance and all of that. And just work with as many people as you can and develop a great way to communicate quickly what you want. And how to make people like that feel comfortable. And then even for like practicing tuning, I used to just sing things really badly and then just practice tuning them. you can figure out ways to learn things. I mean, there's so much to learn on the internet. And I just think that we're at a point now where anything that we want to do, if we're willing to work really hard and sacrifice for it, I really think that we can get there. So yeah, if anyone that just wants to do it, I just say do it.
Great. Before I let you go, what are some artists that you're super into right now that we should all maybe check out?
Ooh, there's this singer. She's independent. Her name's India Carney. She's absolutely, absolutely amazing. She has this tone that I just think is incredible. She's based in LA. Another person is Ruth Ann. She started off as a writer. She is from Ireland and wrote JoJo, Get Out, nice. Leave Get Out, and Niall Horan, Slow Hands. But now she's putting out her own music, and she's absolutely incredible, like more along the lines of like a Joss Stone kind of vibe.
Cool.
She's super great. And then Avery Wilson, he's an R&B singer. His vocals are just absolutely incredible. He's independent right now too, but just absolutely, absolutely amazing if you're looking to listen to a killer vocalist.
Have you worked with any of them before?
Avery. I work with
Nice.
Avery.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll work with the others soon.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, Simone. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Of course. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Can't wait to see you on the Grammys in a few years.
Oh, thank you. Me too.
Wow, that was inspirational. Thanks so much for listening to Sisters of Sound. If you haven't yet subscribed, clearly you know where we are, but you can subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Tell a friend who loves supporting women in audio and follow us on Instagram @sistersof_sound. I'm Morgan, and we're produced out of the Tattoo Sound and Music Studios in downtown Toronto, Canada. Bye!